This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Governor Pat McCrory signed a bill last week into law that restricts policies of so-called sanctuary cities and requires local law enforcement to work with immigration officials. The law also bans the use of non-governmental identification by police and other governmental agencies. Governor says the law will make the streets safer, but protesters marched outside the governor's mansion, calling the legislation racist and unnecessary. WUNC reporter Jorge Valencia has been following the story and joins us now. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hey, good to see you, Frank.
Tell us more. What are the key provisions in this law?
There are two central provisions to this law. One, it says that cities and towns can't direct their police departments to deprioritize asking people what their immigration status is. That's the first one. And then the second one is that it says that no government agency can accept an identification from someone that hasn't been issued by the state or isn't a passport. So particularly, this is addressing something that is a consular registration card that some people use. Some people who are in the country unlawfully get registration cards from their consulates. The Mexican consulate in Raleigh issues these cards. And also cards that are issued by nonprofit organizations. Faith Action International in Greensboro is one of them. They issued ID cards for people so that they can go to libraries, go to school. So it says no longer you can't use these anymore.
Well, let's start with that one and go back to the first one. Do we know how widespread this is and how many localities are using these kinds of IDs?
Yeah. In Greensboro and in Burlington, the cities were actually accepting these cards. The Faith Action International has been issuing these cards for a few years now. They say that it's been a successful program for them. Police actually goes to orientations where they issue these cards. Police explains to people, this is not a driver's license. This is just for you to be able to say, I am Joe Smith. And people had been successful in being able to, for instance, go pick up their kids at school early and be able to identify themselves as the parent, to go to a library, to perhaps get some sort of health service. And there have been a few thousand of these cards issued over the last few years.
So localities have been managing pretty well, apparently. As you say, law enforcement is on board just trying to explain to people what they will and will not be used for.
Yeah.
So everybody's on board. What was the problem? What problem did this address?
Well, the problem, I spoke to George Cleveland. He was one of the lead proponents of this at the General Assembly. We talked about this a couple of times during session. He says the problem with this is that it's not reliable enough. It's not verifiable enough as it is if somebody else went and actually got a driver's license, somebody who was here lawfully, because it's easy for somebody to pretend, to impersonate, to give a false name when they're getting that card or when they're getting the consular registration card. So if they get stopped, if they commit a crime or suspected of a crime, then the name that they give may not actually be them.
All right. And the other issue you talked about, cities that authorize their police to de-emphasize immigration, this sort of thing. Again, how widespread was that? Do we have any idea how many cities were doing this across
the
state?
Very few. I counted about 7 or 8. The first one was Carrboro in 2005. Then we've had a couple more, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Greensboro, Durham. And I think the key here is that they simply it varies, but they tell their police officers it's not as important for you. You don't have to ask every single time you pull over somebody or you talk to somebody what their status is here in the country. I think all these localities were, if there was somebody who was suspected of a crime and they were charged and they were arrested, then they did ask for that information. And so what this nationally has become known, and in some cities that to certain degrees de-emphasize federal immigration law enforcement, they've become known as sanctuary cities. It's not an actual legal term. It's just sort of the colloquial phrase that people use.
Now, Governor McCrory, in signing it, says it's going to reduce crime. Apparently, there are statistics available to show how much crime has increased. In any case, he named a bunch of crimes and also said the other problem is that, allowing cities to decide for themselves which laws to emphasize and which wouldn't is something that probably shouldn't go on. This is Governor McCrory.
The concepts and policies of sanctuary cities is a further breakdown of this process and is contrary to the oath of every law enforcement officer and elected official who they each took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution.
That's Governor McCrory. Well, meanwhile, protesters gathered around the governor's mansion. Tell us about the resistance to this law.
Yeah, this bill, this was one of the very last bills that was passed during session at the very end of September. And just a couple of days later, people started showing up outside of the governor's mansion on Blount Street in downtown Raleigh. And they were urging the governor to not pass this law. It varied. Sometimes it would be a dozen people. Sometimes it would be more than 30 people. Sometimes it would be several dozen people. And then after, you know, this tape that we just heard last Wednesday, the governor signed this. The following day, I went out there, and there were more than 200 people there who had a lot to say about this law.
Among them was Gregorio Morales.
This is something that the normal people don't understand, because we cannot do the normal thing that you guys do every day, you know, like go to school, take the kids to school, go to work. So we got to be twice intelligent to keep living in this country.
There we go. Gregory Morales, one of the protesters outside the governor's mansions, protesting the governor's signature on a law that would eliminate so-called or prohibit so-called sanctuary cities. And again, what did they use? I mean, I'm wondering in the debate, what were the statistics on the number of crimes, sort of how this would reduce crime? Did they have a good sense of how we would reduce crime?
You know, that's a really good question, and one that I don't have the answer for, because there was a lot of debate, as you said, in the House and in the Senate. This got very emotional. I was very surprised to see that immigration got people more riled up than did same-sex marriage earlier in the year, than did abortions earlier in the year. This was really emotional. But a lot of it is what people would call rhetoric, and there weren't actually hard numbers about how, in concrete ways, we would expect that this would prevent or reduce crime.
We're talking to Jorge Valencia today on the state of things. A provision that ostensibly eliminates so-called sanctuary cities, a kind of anti-immigration bill that was signed by the governor. But a third provision of that is not related to immigration. It is instead about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. I think we know it as food stamps. What does that provision do?
Yeah, this provision actually has gotten kind of drowned out in the bigger immigration debate. But this is something that has very little or perhaps nothing to do with immigrants or with immigration law enforcement. What this final provision does, it's related to health. It directs the State Department of Health and Human Services to no longer apply for an extension for SNAP benefits or food stamp benefits for a specific group of people. You have to be an adult, you have to be able-bodied, you have to not have children, and you have to be unemployed. So they can no longer apply for an extension from the federal government for these people to continue to receiving these benefits. This was something that dates back to the recession. The federal government we saw unemployment rates go up. Federal government allowed states to apply for these exemptions. So what the state lawmakers and the governor has now instructed the state health authorities to say is you'll no longer apply for these exemptions.
Typically, when do states apply for these extensions?
Well, usually this would applies to people who get benefits for up to 90 days. These people that I just described, they can get these benefits for up to 90 days. Mm-hmm. This could impact, I talked to the North Carolina Justice Center. They lean left of center, but they cited figures from the Department of Health and Human Services. They estimate that as many as 100,000 people could be impacted by this.
Why did lawmakers take that action?
Well, I think you could sum it up as we want to encourage people to look for work. We want to get people back to work. And the governor's statement on is this emphasizes the value of work. The counter argument to that is that in the majority of the counties in the state, and about 80 counties in the state, there are more people unemployed than there are job openings.
So this cuts them off. Also, I would guess in hard times, this is a time when states look to apply for this exemption so that they can give these extensions, because, you know, in times when unemployment is high. But as you say, while overall the unemployment rates have dropped, there are many counties, in fact, a majority of the counties who have a higher than average unemployment rate. Mm. These are the counties that would have the most severe impact, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Mostly, we're looking at mostly rural counties.
WNC reporter Jorge Valencia. Jorge, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Frank.
Just ahead, we will meet Nobel Prize winner Aziz Sanjar, who won the Nobel Prize or shared it in chemistry this year and teaches at UNC Chapel Hill. You'll hear that conversation on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.